Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Mason Ireland hanging out with me here. We're doing our all-time Los Angeles Lakers draft 10-man teams. It's all presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests like Mason and Ireland appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Real quick, time for straight talk. You know what full court presses in basketball, right? Full defensive coverage with no holes. Well, that's the coverage you get here on Straight Talk Wireless. It runs on America's best networks, same as the big carriers, but for a lot less. Just $45 a month gets you the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data and 2G, saving you half the cost of big carriers. No contract, full court coverage, half the cost. Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. All right.
Wait, so, Mace, can I ask you a question?
Yeah, please.
Okay. Your team now so far is Shaq, Jerry West, Worthy, and Wilt.
Yes.
Which one of those guys, Shaq or Wilt, are you moving out of the post?
I'm going to play big. No, you like know what I really wanted to do was just to keep Wilt away from you guys.
Right, but there's no trades in this league. Your team has to play together.
I did not want you guys, because to me, he was the third best center on the board, and I didn't want you guys to have him. So
I would make the case.
That was totally a keep away move.
I would make the case. You can make the case. I think he's the second best center on the board.
Yeah,
Well, maybe when he got to the Lakers in like 70-71, he was towards the tail end of his career.
Sure, that's fair.
But, all right, so I have the second pick of the fourth round, correct?
Yep, correct.
All right, I need a big man, so I'm taking Pau Gasol.
Okay, so you took
Pau. You get two.
I got two picks now. Let me see. I'm going to take Lamar Odom.
That's a good call.
Wow, I had him way down that board.
Yeah,
I need another ball handler.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take Gail Goodrich.
That's good.
Okay, Hall of Famer. Okay, so I have Magic, LeBron, Elgin Baylor, Pau Gasol. Oh, man. Okay, so I got a choice between two guys. I'm going to take Michael Cooper.
Okay.
That's great.
Okay. Now I've got a guy at every position. Mace, you get two.
Okay. I am going to take Jamal Wilkes and Bob McAdoo.
Okay, that's good. I was going to take Wilkes. So that's a good one.
Mace, you now have three centers.
Yeah, another McAdoo is crazy.
I can play McAdoo at the four. I can play McAdoo at the four.
I mean, sort of, I guess.
Yeah, no, yeah. I can play McAdoo. I'm playing him at the four.
I mean, all right.
This team. Okay. Whew.
All right.
Odom is gone. So it's a toss-up at this point. Oh, well, he'd be coming off the bench.
We are now in our bench players, yes.
Yeah. So I will take... Do I take... So it's so if I take Gary Payton or Karl Malone, those guys are...
There's their Laker
get the
career.
Lakers version of them.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So in that case, I will take... Because I need some defense, need somebody who can shoot some threes. Give me Eddie Jones.
Okay. I like Eddie Jones. And then I will take, I need some threes. So I'm going to take Glenn Rice with one pick.
Yeah, I like that.
And I'm going to take Byron Scott with my other pick.
Ah, yeah.
Okay. Because you never know when you're going to need a big shot. Give me Robert Horry.
Okay, that's a good one.
Okay, maybe you get two.
I am going to take... A.C. Green and Nick Van Exel.
Okay.
This is the strangest composition of a roster.
I don't know what you're doing, Mace, yeah. either.
I will tell you how it looks at the end. Okay. So now I'm set at pretty much every position, so I can take whoever I want. Yeah. Let's go. You took AC Green. Give me... Ooh, that'd be a good pick. Give me Ron Harper.
Okay.
George, you get two.
I'm going to take Meta World Peace.
Yeah, he was on my list.
And I'm going, because I can play him at multiple positions.
Yep.
And I'm going to take, he's gone. Give me Derek Fisher.
Okay.
So I've got one more pick to make.
Yep.
No, you know, you took two. You took Meta and Fisher.
No, last one. I got one
he
more
gets
overall.
The last pick in the draft.
Oh, I get the last pick in the draft.
I see. Oh, so we're coming down to it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I will take, so I have two picks left on my whole team. Do I do it? No, give me Adrian Dantley.
Okay.
Mace, you get two to wrap up your roster.
Okay, I'll take Trevor Ariza.
That's a good one.
And it's so stupid for me to do it.
Go ahead. Take another center.
Such a big lineup.
Yeah, take a center. Take another one.
Nah, I'll take Rick Fox.
Okay. Ireland?
Even though he picked you to win the draft, Sedano, with my last pick, out of respect, I'm taking Michael Thompson.
Okay, fair enough.
And you get the last pick.
I get the last pick. I'm going to go with... I need another backup big. I'm going to go with Vlade Divac.
Okay.
And there you go. So those are our teams. So here's my team. Right. Ready?
Yep.
Backcourt of Goodrich and Kobe. Up front, Odom, AD, and Kareem. Backups, I've got Byron, Glenn Rice, Meta World Peace, Derek Fisher, and Vlade Divac.
All right, my backcourt is Magic and Michael Cooper. My frontcourt is LeBron, Elgin Baylor, and Pau Gasol. And my backups are Eddie Jones, Robert Horry, Ron Harper, Adrian Dantley, and Michael Thompson. Mace, how many centers you got on your team?
Well, I'm going to play big.
Yeah.
Yeah, clearly.
You have almost no threes on your team, by the way. You better hope Nick Van Exel gets hot.
I am starting Jerry West and Jamal Wilkes.
Jamal Wilkes at guard.
At guard.
What position right. He's never played
forward,
in his
though.
Entire career.
Right, he was a small forward and a power forward.
I'm playing AC Green.
At small forward?
At small forward.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah, he played his entire career at the four.
I'm playing McAdoo at the four.
You're benching Wilt or Shaq.
And I'm playing Wilt at the five.
You're benching Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah,
hold on, wait, stop.
Your first overall pick is coming off the bench.
Coming off the bench, yeah. What's weird is I had Wilt as the three and Shaq as the five. But I ended up taking Shaq first.
I had Kareem as the one, but in this draft, you don't need there's so many good big men.
I had Kobe as the one and Magic as the two.
I had Kareem, Kobe, Magic, LeBron, Shaq. I think the key to the whole draft is when Mason forgot about LeBron.
Kareem went,
that opened up the draft.
Where did Kareem go in the draft?
Sedano's second pick. He went sixth.
Yep.
Right, sixth.
Okay. I can't believe Kareem lasted that long, to be honest with you.
Well, it's because of a surplus of centers.
No, I get it. That's why I took Kobe first, because I felt like wing players were at a premium.
I had all the centers.
Yes, we noticed.
I'm playing very, very big.
You're bringing Shaq off the bench. I just want to make
that
clear.
You know what Mace is? He is the drafting fantasy draft version of this year's New York Knicks.
This is wait a minute. This is still a great team. They're all, I mean, let's face it, they're all great teams. Mm-hmm. You can't really mess it up. You're talking about the greatest Lakers of all time.
Some are better than others, though. Bergman, what do you think? What do you think of the team so far? I feel like mine has more depth and John has more star power.
Right.
I have more centers.
Mason decided he just liked names and just going to throw a bunch of names together.
He did.
He's like, Bob McAdoo. That's a good name, and I'm going to put that in there. But no, I think of these two teams, I think, yeah, George's team seems to be more cohesive, but Ireland's team definitely has more star power.
How are you going to guard Magic, LeBron, and Elgin Baylor on one court? How are you going to guard
Guys? How are you going to guard Kobe, Kareem,
and AD?
Hey, how are you going to guard Shaq and Wilt?
They're not even on the court at the same time, according to you.
No. Mace is going to bring him on as a sixth man, and then the lane will completely be clogged.
I'm not worried about floor spacing.
Apparently not worried about threes.
I still believe that the post play is the most effective play in basketball.
Mason is playing the game like Dr. Naismith in the Peach Basket right now.
Oh, that's funny. That is funny. God.
All right,
so what are we doing? Is the social media
team going to put this all together?
Yes. Yeah, they're already posting it up, so they're putting the results round by round.
Oh, wow. Okay, right. Cool.
So tomorrow, let's do this just to make it more fun. Tomorrow, we can do a trade, if anybody wants to do a trade.
Oh, okay.
All right?
So yeah, I feel like Mace is going to be...
Are we doing it Thursday? I mean, I don't know what we're doing.
No, we can do trades tomorrow, and then Thursday, we got to come up with the... Well, Thursday, we were going to do our... Between the three of us, we were going to iron out on your show the top 30 Lakers of all time and actually rank them.
Okay.
Yeah, make your best offer for Wilt.
Best offer? We can only do one-for-one trades here because we only have 10 players.
Right, make your best offer for Wilt.
Or you can do two-for-two or three-for-three.
Right. But they have to be even going in each direction. Yes.
Right. So everybody come up with a trade that you would do.
By the way, George is heavily winning the poll. I just saw this. First round results. Sedano,
first
Kobe,
first
Kareem.
Three rounds, yeah.
Yeah, but that's only the first three rounds.
Right.
Yeah, it's 74% Sedano, 19% Ireland, and somehow me, only 7%.
I mean, you got a couple votes in there. 6.7, actually.
This
it just dropped
really, really early. No, really
as
early.
As we like to say during political season here, early returns for you, Mace.
Early returns, right. Exit polls show I did much better.
Yeah. What's on the Big Mason in Ireland show today, by the way?
Who knows? You never know what we'll come up with.
There's something. Adam Schefter. Todd McShay is coming on at 4.
No.
Todd.
And I think did Dr. Myron Roll come through?
I don't know. She's working on it. Lindsay, you always ask Lindsay what's happening, and she says, I'm working on it.
Yeah. I mean, Bergman, it would have been nice if we would have gotten Todd McShay.
I put out a request. I think we're getting Mel Kiper on Friday.
There we go. Look at you, Bergman, actually working.
Yeah, hey, Ireland, I want to know what is going on with the alumni game. How are they cheating in the alumni game? And that's blasphemy to do that.
Yeah, they're just Googling as soon as I say the name.
Nobody's cheating. I mean, at least I'm not. Do you really think it's worth cheating for one of our stupid games?
I'm not necessarily accusing you, Mace, of cheating.
Yeah,
Oh, you're saying Lindsay's cheating.
No.
I'm saying Lindsay and Funchess are both cheating.
Ramon, I don't think Funch would. I think Lindsay would. Ramona is the one person who copped to actually cheating in a game.
What?
Yeah, she cheated in a game. So the game was songs with the word stop in them. And Momo told me that she Googled at the beginning of the game songs with the word stop in them. So she had them teed up and ready to go as Ireland played the songs.
But that's kind of like Astros level cheating. It's not because she still had to be quick on the draw, which she's not. But she did win that game. So there you go.
She is the Astros.
Catch them.
Yesterday, Ireland lost a game of rock, paper, scissors after he cheated.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
oh my
God. I tried to cheat and jump the delay.
What time
and even
was that
when
at?
I did it, I lost.
It was genius.
I, I need to find the time that I called yesterday that we did
I called
that.
Rock. Right. Then there were a good 2 seconds, so, and John said scissors.
Laura, if you could find it, it's, I don't know if you guys have the skimmer or whatever you have there. I called right at 4 o'clock, and it was literally like in the last 2 or 3 minutes.
Oh, that's
of the
right.
Call.
You were on when we were doing it.
Yes, yes, yes. If you can find that audio, and just it, when then we started just laughing without any words spoken on the show for about at least a good 45 seconds.
Hey, John, or George, are you watching Tiger King?
I'm not.
Oh, my God, Mason, I finished it. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. That thing is terrible.
Oh, it is fascinating.
It
are
is
you
awful.
Kidding me?
That is like,
absolutely.
I guess you can take the boy out of Toledo, but you can never
Wait
take
a minute.
The Toledo out of the boy.
I'm telling you, everybody in the world is watching that show. Hey. I grew up from white. I am white trash.
Exactly.
Don't knock white trash.
If you want to see how Mason grew up, watch Tiger King.
Is it really? Mason, come on. There's no way. I have been reluctant to watch it just because I'm
George,
like.
George, it is such a waste of time. Watch two episodes. You'll check out.
Here's the whole thing, though. We all need right now, more than anything, these great big collective experiences. And you may not have liked it, but everybody is watching the soccer. Just ask on Twitter, are you watching Tiger King? It's ridiculous.
All right, I want you to repeat this out loud, Mason. Twitter is not real life.
I'm telling you.
Twitter, it means nothing.
Tiger King is the thing right now, and I don't know what the next thing is.
Well, if it's Tiger King 2, we're all doomed.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm out on Tiger King. I mean, I may eventually watch it just because everyone else seems to be, so I'll just see what it's all about. But yeah, it's not my, at least on the surface, not my cup of tea.
All right, I'm going to go draw plays for Magic and LeBron on the same
team. Okay, I'm going to go up to draw plays for.
Well, wait, real quick. We have the Laura found the audio of. Hold on, real quick. Laura found the audio of John screwing up the rock, paper, scissors. Okay. This is some of the best audio.
Keep in mind, I tried to cheat. I actually tried to cheat.
Because we did it first, and then you claimed that Mason cheated. So then we did it a second time, and this time I called it, and you still cheated and still got it way wrong. So let me hear it, Laura.
All right. 1, 2, 3. Paper.
Scissors.
Oh, no. Wait a minute. You waited until I talked.
I totally nailed it. You waited until I nailed it.
That is the most crooked game around.
That was not crooked. I literally heard you at the same time.
Listen. Let me do it.
I'll go second. I'm fine. I'll go second.
Best two out of three. I will do it. Ready? I'll do the count.
Okay.
All right? Best two out of three. Ready? Okay. 3, 2, 1.
Rock.
Scissors.
Oh, yes! You are so stupid, John. I gave you rock and you went scissors.
Yeah. George, I cheated and lost.
He waited for me and then threw out the wrong thing.
All right, I'll go second.
that was priceless.
That is the most damning evidence of all time. I pick second.
Oh, my God.
Mason gets 2 picks.
All right, Laura, you can lower it. I mean, then we just laughed for like 40 seconds.
And then
Mason
took full advantage of those 2 picks by forgetting about LeBron.
Hey, by remembering the logo. Who went on, by the way, to be the general manager for my team.
Yeah, you could go let him be the GM, but how's he gonna guard, Magic or LeBron?
Oof. Yeah, that's tough. Yeah. But, all right, Mace, Ireland, thank you guys for coming.
Right,
okay. So we'll come up with some trades for tomorrow.
Okay, good.
All right, see you. Have a good show. There he is. There they are, Mason and Ireland. All right. Coming up next, that was fun. Coming up next, actually at 11:30, Bobby Marks is going to stop by because there's some NBA news that we want to get to, and no one better to talk to than ESPN NBA's front office insider about all the stuff that's going on in the NBA. But hope you guys enjoyed the last couple of segments. Really, the whole show so far has been really, really fun. So hope you guys enjoyed it. But I'm going to take some calls here next. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-3776. I want you guys to tell us on the surface who you think did the best as far as their teams are concerned. Myself, Mason, or Ireland. Just call in right now, 877-710-ESPN. Sit down with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. Protecting your small business is a big deal. Cover what you've worked so hard for. Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com. Bobby Marks, ESPN NBA front office insider, will join us in the next segment. So make sure you stick around for that. So we did our teams. So Mason, Ireland, and I did our teams. We'll try to come up with trades. Now, there may not be a trade to have. maybe we don't actually make the deal. But just wanted to let you know that that's possible for tomorrow. That was Nipsey Hussle right there, the anniversary, man, of his passing. So may he rest in peace, and obviously still thinking about him. I know there's so many memories and so many in memoriam tributes going on today online. So make sure you check them out all over the internet, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, wherever you're at, Snapchat, doesn't matter. They're all there somewhere. But we're always, we're always thinking about him. He's always in our hearts. So with the draft, Bergman, here's my team. Now you have all the teams there listed, right? You wrote them all down?
I got all of them. Yep.
Okay. So my starting five is Gale Goodrich, Hall of Famer, Kobe Bryant in the backcourt. Up front, Lamar Odom, Anthony Davis, and Kareem. And then on the bench, I've got a second team. I've got Derek Fisher and Glenn Rice Byron Scott in the backcourt. Glenn Rice, Meta World Peace, and Vlade Divac up front. I basically have two teams that fit exactly the way I would want them to fit.
Yeah, I think you got a really deep team, and I really like your starting five too, because I mean, you just aren't stopping a lot of these guys. So I think you have the best team of the three. Ireland is close. I think Michael was right. He had it. Your team is deeper and stronger. Ireland's team is a close second, and Mason's is, you know, Mason's.
Right.
I honestly believe he was looking at names of Lakers and just like, oh, I know that name. I'm going to throw it out there.
I mean, I can't believe he drafted Shaq with his first overall pick and then is bringing him off the bench.
Right.
So give me Mason's team. Give me Mason's team.
So Mason's team is Shaquille O'Neal, Jerry West, James Worthy, which by the like those three, fine.
Good. Okay? Yeah, they're good. They're good.
Then it's Wilt Chamberlain, Jamal Wilkes, Bob McAdoo, AC Green, Nick Van Exel, Trevor Ariza, and Rick Fox. It's a good team. I mean, he has good players on there. But
he's got nobody that can handle. But he's got one guy that can handle the ball and very few guys that can shoot.
Right. Yeah. And one of the Nick Van Exel is really your point guard, and he was your third to last pick.
Make sure that when Carlo or the social team puts it out there that when people are voting for the team, it's about that it has to fit too. Like that has to be part of the qualifications. Because if it's just names, of course Mason's names will work, but that needs to be in there. Like we need to know, like people need to know that the fit matters.
So here's the thing with Ireland's team too that has me.
And what is Ireland's team? Go ahead for those
Ireland's team
didn't hear.
Is Magic Johnson, LeBron James, Elgin Baylor, Pau Gasol, Michael Cooper, Eddie Jones, Robert Horry, Ron Harper, Adrian Dantley, Michael Thompson. So
he doesn't have great. He has small centers.
Yes, small centers, and his bench is not the best. Still, right. It's good. I mean, there's good players there too, but it's not as strong as say your bench is, or Mace's bench.
Pau is not small in height, but he's not. He can't bang with Shaq and Wilt and Kareem. You know what I mean? Like, so there's that.
Pau and Anthony Davis are kind of similar in that sense.
Right, right. So John's team is kind of small, actually.
And my other thing is like Magic Johnson, LeBron James. So you're getting LeBron as a Laker. So you're getting the LeBron James of the last 2 years, which he has been focused more as being kind of a point guard, but more of a distributor. And that's what Magic Johnson does. So Magic, you need the ball in Magic's hands to make it all work. And the way
but also LeBron right wants now, the ball in his hands, right? Yeah,
to make it all work as well. Yeah. Whereas your team specifically, nobody needs the ball in their hands more than Kobe Bryant.
Right, and you've got Goodrich who can handle. You've got Odom who can handle, for sure. And obviously Derek Fisher can handle. So I've got four ball handlers. Like I feel like, I've spread it out pretty well.
Yeah, I do think you have the best of the three.
All right, 877-710-ESPN. We got a couple of minutes. If people want to chime in and give their thoughts on who they thought did the best in the draft, that who has the best team, we can do that for a few minutes before we get to Bobby Marks. We got a break in like 3 or 4 or 5 minutes, somewhere in that range. So we can sneak a couple calls in. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. In the interim, you and I never – we were going to battle it out about Tua again today, but I think we could just save that for tomorrow. What do you think?
Yeah, yeah, we'll do that tomorrow because I'm right, so it's fine.
I don't know if you're right. I don't know if you're right. I'm curious to hear what Todd McShay says about that today on Mason in Ireland.
Oh, yeah, that'll be a good one. And then Mel Kiper, hopefully, with us on Friday.
On Friday with us, yeah. Right, yeah. I'm curious to see how they feel about it. But, yeah, it is going to be interesting. God, man, everybody called it that Mace would screw this thing up.
God, he did. And right away, I was dying laughing immediately. He was just, he forgot about LeBron. I actually thought LeBron was going to fall to you. If you ended up with Kobe, oh, LeBron. And
oh, that's what I was hoping for. I was hoping for LeBron to get back to me, and I was one pick away from it. My strategy initially was to get Kobe, because I thought Shaq would be off the board and Kareem would be off the board. So I never thought Kareem would get back to me. I thought I was going to end up that my first three were going to be Kobe, LeBron, and Wilt. Like, I thought that was going to be what it was going to, how it was going to play out. But it ended up that I ended up with Kobe, AD, and Kareem, which is still pretty damn impressive to me.
Yeah, no, it is. And also, like, Ireland, I could see Ireland, when you guys make trades tomorrow, he's going to try and trade for a big. So he's going to try and trade with Mason, and I don't know what he's going to do, but I could imagine him maybe trying to move Elgin Baylor and Adrian Dantley for Wilt or something like, or Shaq.
Well, you can't.
Like
it's got to be one for one or two for two.
It's got to be 1-to-1.
Yeah.
Oh, that doesn't work at all. I mean, unless he's like, you need a ball handler, so I'll give you Ron Harper for Wilt Chamberlain.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's going to be whoever can offer the best deal. Let's go to the phones. Mitch, what's up, Mitch? What do you got? Who has the best team here, me, Ireland, or Mason?
How you doing, George?
Hey, bud.
Thanks for taking my call. I think you did. I mean, the Lakers have had so many great centers. It was like 80%. And 80% of the other great players from the other positions. I wonder how many teams can do this. But you got Kareem.
Oh, very few. I mean, it's like if we were just doing a top 10 of the Lakers, it would be impossible. I mean, there will be guys that are left out that people would be furious about.
Definitely. And I mean, Shaq, what a scoop. You guys always get the big scoop. And this was going to be the clip of you. But one thing about the team, Shaq and Wilt always came to play. Shaq had a tendency to chill, not work as hard every single moment. But they were both strong in their own right. I mean, they could kill somebody with their own hands. Both strong in different ways. Great athletes, especially Wilt.
Thank you, Mitch. Appreciate it, bud. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. We're going to talk to Bobby Marks about everything that's going on in the NBA. We've got some news going on in the NBA, how contracts will work. Like AD's contract. Like, technically, that's up on July 1st. Like, what happens if the season gets extended? Like, what do we do with all these contracts? Bobby Marks, ESPN NBA front office insider, will tell us what the hell will happen in that situation. We'll talk to him next. Stick around. Sedano, 710 ESPN. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. You know what, Greg? Do me a favor. You have Bobby's number. Text Bobby the three different teams that we just picked. And okay. I'm curious to see what he thinks. Don't text them in names. Just tell them team A, B, and C. And just text and see which team he thinks is the best constructed team for the all-time Lakers team that Mason and Ireland and I just did. We did 10-man teams. This segment brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, like our buddy Bobby Marks, ESPN NBA front office insider. He'll join us here in just one moment. By the way, don't forget, tune in to Mason and Ireland today. Todd McShay will be stopping by this afternoon to talk about the NFL draft, which will continue to go. So that, and as news trickles out, we will be giving it to you. We need content right now, and no one provides better content in the NBA with all the work that he does than Bobby Marks, who joins us here on the Sedano Show. All right, Bobby, I got a number of things I want to talk to you about. And I'm sure, did you hear what I just said about the teams that we constructed?
I did. I'm going to try to do two things at once. It's like riding a bike and like chewing gum, right? So I'm going to put you on a speakerphone, and I saw the text that just came in.
Right.
As far as these, these all, hello. Let's see here. We could talk while I'm looking at this, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I'm picking Team C.
Who is Team C, Bergman?
Shaq and Wilt. That's what I'm taking.
Took Mason.
No, but they have. But fit has to matter.
I know it does, but I'm going with dominance.
Wow, look at you. All right, now you can take us off speaker. Look at that. That's Steve Mason's team. We made fun of him. Everyone is making fun of him for taking Shaq and Wilt together.
We'll see how it does. Maybe in this day and age, maybe, yeah. But those two, I didn't see Wilt play, but certainly I saw Shaq up close and personal.
There you go. So look at that. Mason was getting beat up. So, Greg, if you want to make Mason feel a little better, tell him Bobby Marks thought he had the best team. So there you have it. All right. So, Bobby, let me ask you about this, because I know you wrote about something in regards to this recently. With the contracts with current players, particularly guys coming up in free agency or whatnot, let's use Anthony Davis as the example. His deal is up, I guess, June 30th or whatever. What happens to those deals if we do resume the season, but at a later date?
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of, I would say, bargaining between Player Association and the NBA. I think we're starting to see that already this week here, where those dates will be pushed back. They'll be adjusted. So if you're, Anthony Davis, who's got a June 29th player option, that date will not happen during when you're playing regular season or postseason games. And if we're playing postseason games in July and August, that we all hope is going to be, then I think that the Davis opt-out or opt-in date will probably could possibly be August 29th. I think a lot of it will depend on what the cap calendar year is going to be, because the cap calendar year goes from July 1 to June 30th. And that's why you have all these player options. You've got guys with guaranteed contracts. There's over 150 different other decisions here that will have to be bargained on as far as where these dates go. But it basically goes hand in hand as far as where the regular season and postseason games are going to be played and at what time.
Bobby Marks with us here. Yeah, I mean, I guess like we're in a situation clearly that's unprecedented. But the Players Association and the league, I would imagine, would get involved and have to start to hash this stuff out. Now, do you think they would have preliminary conversations about some of this stuff, or are they just going to kind of wait and see and let this thing play out a little bit first?
Well, I think this is the Davis, the opt-outs and guys are guaranteed probably on the back end. I think that just basically goes with how the cap calendar is set. I think the big thing this week, and we'll learn a lot more, is what's going to happen with force majeure as far as a deduction from player salaries, if that is going to take place. Players get paid tomorrow. They're guaranteed to get their full amount. That's going to be in their paycheck, and everything beyond that is going to be up in the air. And if you are players that are expecting an April 15th paycheck, you're still going to get a paycheck, but it might be at 75% of as far as what that amount is going to be, and there might be a 25% reduction here. So that's going to be the big thing, I think, with the league and the Player Association have to figure out as far as from a pay standpoint, because with the 2-week window to where April 15th is.
Man, this thing is so wild right now. So let's just say if they don't get paid, my guess is there's going to be a more contentious battle, right, moving forward between the Players Association and the owners?
Yeah, I think, it's funny. People forget that the owners are already holding the 10% of players' pay right now, right? That amount is in an escrow account. There's about $380 million sitting in this that could get up to $380 million in a pool that the owners are going to get back, okay? They're getting this money back because of where revenue is going. So they already know that they're going to get, between $12 and $13 million in a check. If you go the force majeure route and the player deduction, and let's put a number around $500 million of total pay that's going to be deducted here, the escrow goes away and the players get that back. So there's no double dip in here where they're going to get twofold here. So I think if you're the owners, I think you have to figure out, is it in the best interest of our organization to deduct pay from our players? And when you look at it big picture wise, what's hold next summer when if Giannis has become a free agent and Mark Cuban voted not to deduct players, and let's say Milwaukee voted to deduct it. And that, I mean, certainly could be used as a recruiting tool, right? I mean, saying, yeah. like, hey, look at us. We've told our guys, you're going to get our pay, but we were overruled by the other 20 teams here. So I think it's a delicate balance as far as with force majeure. It certainly could be applied. I think if you're looking at it from the league's perspective, that they need the players in a lot as far as there's so many different issues to be bargained here going forward. And if it's over $12 to $13 million of what could be coming back, I mean, remember they just took out a credit line here that I think you can certainly take money out again. So, but yeah, there's so many things in the air, and I think the force majeure, which is the pay area, is going to probably be the first one that that comes to some type of closure here.
So let me guess, and Bobby Marks joining us here on the Sedano Show on 710 ESPN, ESPN NBA front office insider. If you had to guess, and we're all guessing here, this will probably come down to big market versus small market, like it always does, as far as a vote would concern.
Yeah, I would think that's where it's. I think that's where we're going here, as far as if you are New York or Brooklyn or possibly both Los Angeles teams here. I think you probably have enough cash flow coming in, right, to kind of withstand this right now. I think if you're a team like Indiana, who's got, you know, major renovations going on at their arena. I've got, I think, $65 million out in arena renovations here. You know, that's a big number. So I think that's probably where we're probably going to be headed. It always reverts back to that big market versus small market mentality.
God, it is incredible. That's just kind of where we're at. What do we know about the draft, Bobby?
Well, you know, it's interesting because there's so much in flux because we were starting to see certainly players declare for the draft. There's a big burden on agents as far as the cost to prepare these guys, the overhead to get them ready. You know, there's so much uncertainty as far as when the draft will even be. Well, I don't see it being in June because if there's games being played, I don't see how trades are going to be allowed to happen unless we have a draft where you can only trade draft picks. So I think if it's the draft, I think we're probably looking at maybe possibly in August. You know, I think the big picture approach to look at is take where the events occur. If the draft's June 25th, then I think you have to push that forward 2 months, which would be August 25th. And that goes back to now, do we readjust the cap calendar where we go from September 1 to August 30 when we start maybe games on Christmas Day? And that's what the new calendar is going to be. So I think everything is in a holding pattern. I think the draft's probably the last of the commissioner's worry right now, but eventually you're going to have to address that because, let's face it, tomorrow is April 1.
Bobby Marks with us here. Two questions on some of the stuff you just mentioned right there. First of all, as someone who worked in a front office, and obviously the most important thing is that we're all healthy, safe, and sound, right? Like, clearly that's what matters the most. But putting that aside for 1 second, just dealing with the business aspect of this, as someone who's worked in a front office, how challenging is something like this for a front office? Like, just all of it.
Well, yeah, it's challenging because it's not like it's the lockout of 2011, right? Where, you know, basically we were just kind of waiting for both sides to kind of come to an agreement, the Players Association and the NBA, and that could have been a matter of days, and it wound up being a matter of months, but we always thought, you know, there was kind of an end in sight. I just don't know where the end in sight is right now. And it's a challenge because we're only in the end of March. I think we still have, you know, at least two more months of hiatus here. It's challenging, I think, for, you know, certainly for employees. You know, when I was in Brooklyn, I mean, we had furlough Fridays, right? I mean, we didn't get paid on Fridays. We had cost reductions. And I mean, I saw you saw Philadelphia try to do that last week, and there was a lot of, you know, criticism, but I think they'll probably get to a point there, if this continues, that we're going to see a lot of that there. But the other side of it is that there are a lot of teams out there going about the process of the draft, right? I mean, you're watching film, you're doing background, you're evaluating. The draft eventually will happen. The offseason will eventually happen. So you kind of go through the preparation of that. But, the hard part is that we don't have a calendar, right? Calendar, and that is really challenging. And I've been talking with teams, and they're like, I just wish the NBA would give us a calendar, even if it's wrong, right? Like, just tell us, like, all right, June 15th is going to be training camp. We're going to do first games. We're going to regular season, four games of regular season, July 1, and this is when the playoffs were going to start. Even if it's not right, at least it gives us something to plan ahead towards.
Yeah, I'm with you. Though I do understand, right? But I've gotten the sense, Bobby, and I don't know if you have too, but like, you know, I talk to people, you talk to people. Windhorst has been on, he talks to people. Bon Temps was on with us recently, and we all get the sense that the league is fairly adamant. Obviously, you know, health being the most important thing, that's understood, and safety. But that the league is pretty adamant to get this thing in, almost no matter what, including the type of stuff that Brian has said about putting it in remote locations. How would you feel as someone who worked for a team if the remote location thing became a reality?
I think we just have to deal with the best interest of the NBA is, and I think change is hard, but I think at the end of the day, the goal is to get games in no matter what, and if it's in front of 18,000 people or in front of 100 people, or and that includes, you know, people sitting at the scores table, that's what we're going to do. You know, I mean, that's just the scenario there, and I think where this is different from 2011, also the lockout, is that, you know, there was a drop dead date back then, right? Like, you know, Commissioner Stern was saying, you know, hey, if we don't get this done by November 15th, there's not going to be any games. We're here. The league is going to wait this out as long as we can to try to get games in. And that's going to be the end goal. Of course, safety, but the end goal is to get something in, even if that means we're playing games in Nebraska or North Dakota or Montana, somewhere that's kind of at a neutral site.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm just, whatever it takes, I'm with you. Let's just try to get to that, obviously, with safety and health being first. You mentioned a potential season starting on Christmas. Look, the strike-shortened year started then, and I didn't love the 66 games and 123 nights, but I do think that, you know, I've been a big proponent of this for years. I tweeted about it a bunch. I actually retweeted a thread I had from like a couple years ago when Steve Koonin of the Atlanta Hawks, that story came out. Like, to me, that's the model, and that should be the model moving forward. Would you be in favor of such a model?
Sign me up. I don't know if my wife would be, because that would mean, you know, we're kind of working in August, but I would sign me up for that model where we would go, you know, free agency would start September 1. We'd have Vegas Summer League, you know, somewhere in the middle there, you know, Fall League, and then we get going on Christmas Day. And I think you can still do 82 games if we take regular season into mid-June, and then we go playoffs, you know, basically end of June, July. And the finals are the first 2 weeks of August here. And I think the growing sense is that, you know, when you talk to teams, that there's more of an appetite for that than what it was, you know, maybe a couple of years ago, just because of the situation we're going into. And we might have to do this just because of, you know, where, you know, the longer this goes and the longer we play games, that the league is going to be forced, you know, not by choice, but by its own doing to do something like that.
Bobby Marks, ESPN NBA front office insider with us here. All right, real quick, let's have some fun and talk some actual basketball in this regard. The season, if we get back going, there's probably going to be a few regular season games probably played in some capacity. Because my understanding is, and you can, actually, before we get into that, my understanding is 70 games is a threshold for these regional cable networks, right? Now, does that mean that you have to hit that threshold to get paid? Are you even familiar with any of that?
Yeah, I saw that. I think someone mentioned that yesterday. I'm not familiar as far as what the, okay, you know, the threshold is. But I think what you look at is that you basically cap it at 70. I mean, there's some teams that have played 64 games, some have played 66. So I think you could probably look at it where you could say, hey, we're going to play four games, right? We're going to play four regular season games. You know, the Lakers are going to play two against Sacramento and two against Phoenix, right? Who cares if you've already played them three or four times? And you're going to be kind of somewhat, geographically located. But I don't know, you know, if we're looking at to put these teams in a bubble, is that somewhere else? Is it in L.A. or is it in Phoenix? I think there's still a lot to be worked out. But I think you need to have kind of a two-week training camp and then kind of work your way back into, you know, the regular season if that's going to mean three or four games there.
Gotcha. And I'm with you on all that. So let's have some fun here real quick, since basically the regular season is over, even if they play a few games. Give me your top three that you would vote for in the MVP race.
Yeah, I think for me it is Giannis, LeBron, and Anthony Davis. That's my top three.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Anthony Davis is interesting. I would imagine you voted in the Bontemps poll, right?
I did vote in the Bontemps poll, and I did, you know, I think I had 85, but I think the more I look at it, I think I had Luka 3 and Harden 4. I don't think Anthony gets enough credit. I mean, I really don't. I mean, I think where he, you know, especially when you play with LeBron, I think we've kind of overlooked what type of year that he has had this year.
Yeah, I actually voted Chris Paul 3rd. I feel like just you your sentiment.
Argument. Yeah.
That's, yeah, same sentiment. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and all right, Coach of the Year, your top three.
Nick Nurse in Toronto. I think he's done a great job. I think Frank Vogel in, you know, certainly in Los Angeles. You know, the third was probably Nate McMillan, but they had stumbled a little bit towards the end in Indiana. Taylor Jenkins in Memphis, I think, basically what he's been able to do, they've been able to do there. So I think it's a strong field, you know, of coaches.
All right, and last one, Rookie of the Year. What order?
Yeah, I think it's John Morant, definitely number one. I know what Zion's been able to do in the 20 games that he came back, but I would probably put Zion at two because I think, you know that even that small sample, and I think probably three for me is probably Kendrick Nunn of the Heat. He rookie of the month in the Eastern Conference, I think, three or four times. That'd be my top three.
There he is, Bobby Marks, ESPN NBA front office insider with us here. Man, I hope you and yours are safe, healthy, and okay. I would imagine that's the case, yes?
I appreciate it. Yeah, everyone's doing good. It's a lot of, when you get kids a little bit older now, it's all about homeschooling and stuff. And thank God I got a wife as a teacher at home because I could not figure out. Yesterday, I put it on Facebook, I said, you know, I can figure out the salary cap and $1 million number, but I cannot figure out fifth grade multiplication by decimals yesterday for the life of me. I was like stumped for like an hour.
Oh, that's fantastic. I thought you were going to tell me like algebra or something, but fifth grade multiplication.
No. We're going low. We're going fourth and fifth grade here. No.
Oh, Bobby. Well, you know what? You can retrain the mind there a little bit there. That'll help you out. But, man, thank you so much for always coming on and making time for us. Stay healthy. Stay safe. We'll talk soon, okay?
You too. You got it.
All right, man. See ya. There he is. Bobby Marks joining us there here on the Sedano Show. Coming up next, Shaq and the Tiger King. Yep, you heard that right. And we have some breaking news in the NFL. We'll get to all that coming up in just a second. We did the anniversary of Nipsey Hussle's passing, also the anniversary of Selena's passing today, and obviously we miss her very much as well. A lot of in memoriam shout-outs going out today, remembering her and her impact. This segment brought to us by our friends at Pennzoil Synthetic Motor Oils and made from natural gas. It gives you an unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. And if you missed any of our interviews today, whether it was Bobby Marks, who was great there, Mick Cronin, who was, I'd never spoken to the man. I mean, Bobby Marks and Mason in Ireland are always great, but I was amazed at how great Mick Cronin was. It was my first ever encounter with him. I thought he was fantastic. You should absolutely subscribe to the Sedano Show podcast on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify. It's brought to you by Capital One Quicksilver Card, earning unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere. What's in your wallet? So a couple of things here real quick. So I know Mason likes the Tiger King, and he came up. So apparently Shaq was in the first episode of the Tiger King. And Shaq has said he has clarified about his brief appearance on the Netflix documentary Tiger King, saying that while he loves big cats, he had no idea what was going on in the Oklahoma ranch owned by Joseph Maldonado Passage and the now imprisoned title character known as Joe Exotic. O'Neill appeared in the opening episode. Video showed him touring the zoo and taking pictures with the animals, and then cut to him referencing the visit the next night while on the TNT broadcast, saying, "Shout out to Exotic Joe. I got two more tigers." So there you have it. So O'Neill says that he explained it on his podcast, the big podcast with Shaq. He says, "We go in there, it's beautiful, and the character was there, was Exotic Joe. We're there. I dropped some donations for the Tigers' foods and all that. We take pictures of the Tigers, went back a couple times. And then we went back another time and found out he's involved with all this stuff. Then I actually stopped going." So there you have it. So that's what Shaq said about the Tiger King situation. We do have breaking news in the NFL. They have, it looks like they've approved Bergman. The clubs approved 14 teams to qualify for the playoffs beginning with the 2020 season. So beginning right away, we thought this was going to be a 2021 thing.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, are you okay with it? I don't see what the issue is. It's fine.
I'm fine with it because it's still less than half the teams.
Right.
And it actually, you know, we talked about this when this was proposed. You know how every week late in the season they have the playoff picture and then they always have that column in the hunt?
Right.
Right, where teams are in the hunt. They're close, but they're not in. The more teams you have in the hunt, the more interest there is in the sport. So I actually think that's a good thing. Now, there's a delicate balance there, obviously. You want to have enough teams in the hunt, but you don't want more than half your teams making the playoffs. So I think that that's important. But I love it. I'm fine with it. You know me, I don't always agree with the NFL, but I think that it makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah, this one does. And also, if this was this last year, 2019, the Rams would have made the playoffs.
They would have. And by the way, for the first time, sorry to interrupt. Go ahead, finish, and I'll tell you by the way after.
No, go ahead.
I would say that it could be now, for the first time, that you would have four teams in a division make the playoffs. We've seen three teams in a division make the playoffs, but with this new format, you could potentially have four teams, a whole division, make the playoffs.
Would there be a division last year that would have been able to do that? Because, I mean, Arizona wasn't getting in.
No, it wasn't. No, not last year. But it is absolutely possible, like, is what I'm saying. Like, now, mathematically, it is possible to have four teams in a division make the playoffs.
Yeah, the NFC East is usually one of those teams, those conferences that are pretty tightly knit could possibly get through there. That's pretty crazy.
Look, the West, the NFC West has gotten much stronger. I think it's possible. How about the AFC West?
Oh, the AFC West is going to be the NFC West definitely, because Arizona has gotten so much better now, and the Rams are still should still be good. Then Seattle's always good, and obviously the 49ers are just in the Super Bowl. So yeah,
right. It's possible. So something to look out for. The Michael Jordan series on ESPN was moved up to April, which is awesome. All excited about that because, like we told LZ and Travis during Crosstalk, we need content. I mean, I think we're doing a good job here on the show, and I think the audience is helping us out. We appreciate you guys listening each and every day. I want more Michael Jordan content. He just doesn't talk enough. So this is good for us to see the behind the scenes.
Now, is this going to be something like Game of Thrones where we couldn't talk about it till Wednesday, or are we going to be able to talk about it on Monday?
Like, oh, hell no. Now? Everybody's home. We absolutely need to be talking about it on Monday. We probably be talking about it through Wednesday, to be honest with you.
All right, done.
So, all right, thanks to Mick Cronin for joining us today, Bobby Marks, Mason in Ireland. Make sure you vote on who has the best team between the three of us. Thanks to Laura. Thanks to Greg. Thanks to you guys each and every day for listening and tuning in and calling in. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. We love you. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10.